Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. With Cheers, you're going to start feeling better when you wake up. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good morning. John Granato is out. He's out today. He's out tomorrow. He will be back on Monday. And, but in the meantime, we got a lot to get to today. Welcome into the show. Be careful on your drive in if you are just getting up and you're listening in your home. Raining pretty heavily this morning when we got in. We're kind of lucky, I guess, because I didn't realize. I saw, and we'll get to Rockets, Warriors, all the free agent signings the Texans had yesterday. We'll get to who the Texans almost signed yesterday.
I do want to play. Who did the Texans fall in second place for?
Yeah, that's a new game that's sweeping the nation. And by nation, I mean just Houston. But did you guys see? I was looking at Bun B's Instagram. He got stuck in Denver. I'm so oblivious to everything. I mean, I thought they signed Nickell Roby and not Bradley Roby. So I took one person's word for it and just went with it. I didn't realize that the mountain zone, I guess, the mountain time zone, which is a sliver, it's about 10 miles wide. I had no idea they were getting smashed by snow and wind and all that stuff so bad. Daniel Jeremiah was at Pro Day for Kyler Murray, which we'll talk about in a second, and he couldn't get back. The wind was so bad out of Oklahoma that they just grounded all the flights. And then on top of that, Denver, I saw Bun's Instagram story. Man, it is like... The snow is so bad that everything's just getting shut completely down. All the flights are shut down.
I saw Benjamin Albright tweet about it yesterday that, like, all of Denver was just, like, dark red traffic.
Yeah. There was a bunch of accidents. Yeah, and they know how to – don't they know how to drive in snow?
Speaking of the wind, did you see in Amarillo that it was, like, sustained 65-mile-an-hour
That's
wind?
Tyler, by the way. Tyler's in for Dell. Dell's in for John. Dell will be playing the part of – questionable sexual commentary.
Well, to fulfill that role, you buried the lead today.
What?
What's today, Lance? What's today?
Today's Thursday.
No, it's what's the date? Excuse me.
Let's see, it's March 24th.
No, that's 10 days after today. It's March 14th, which is what? Steak and...
I'm looking at the 24th.
It's Pi Day, too.
What does that mean?
Is it International Pi Day?
3.14.
Pie. He's doing math jokes. But I'm talking about steak and mouth hug day.
Oh, is that what today is?
Yeah.
I don't know. We don't celebrate.
You don't celebrate
house.
That in your house?
No. I'll make a call and see how it goes.
Heathen.
It'll be the same. Yeah, I know. That's what I want to say. And then I think it'll be the same response I get every other year when I bring it up. Hey, did you know that today? No,
what
it's not
the,
that day.
What okay. is the what is the more thing that what is the thing that's more like I guess protested the making of a steak or the mouth hug?
No, I think the mouth.
Oh,
yeah, that takes yeah. The steak.
I feel like some people. I feel like. Let me ask you this: Would you rather have a steak or the other one?
Nah, the other one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so you get steaks all the time.
I'm still at that point. Yeah. Nah, I still like a good steak.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's not without a. You know, I got to think about it a little bit.
Okay. Let's say
the quality
say the best
level
steak in Houston.
The quality level of one has gone up.
Let's say
what about like a Kobe steak, a Kobe beef steak,
like one of those like A5 yeah. steaks. One
that
of those
you can only get in like 10 places in the U.S.
Where it's got. I gotta be careful now. I got to
let's play a game because we played this game yesterday.
Okay, go ahead. I already don't like
at
this
the
game.
End of the show with Raheel and John. We play the game about would you trade in a sexual interaction for 10 minutes less of traffic, like one sexual interaction with your significant other for 10 less minutes in traffic. We play that game. Would you?
Oh, that's a suburb. Then yeah. You got to play that with suburb people.
Yeah. Let's say, would you take a great steak?
Yeah, per week? Like how? What do you mean?
That's a quiet flex.
Per week slash, like the interaction would be per week. The 10 minutes off traffic would be per day. So let's say.
Oh, man. How would you not do that?
That's why it's a question. Some people are like, no. Some people will be like, yes. The question for you is, would you take a great steak? Compare a great steak to a so-so mouth hug. Which one are you taking?
Oh, great steak.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. But my level of steak, what Tyler's already dropping, he's talking about these steaks that are literally, they put them in the little box. They put a little line around the box, like a little, you know, the font is maybe different. And they put a, you know, a border around the box,
there's no price listed. Market price. Yeah, exactly.
If you see market price on a steak, you're getting ready to pay over $100. That's what it means.
And
if you're not throwing me a $100,
a great steak, like you said, $100. A so-so mouth hug is $10.
That's what I'm saying. Do the math, Del.
Do the math. So let's.
I like that you're sitting in John's seat. This I have is coming to do up this in the first segment.
So let's say. 10 so-so mouth hugs or a great steak?
No, I'll go 10.
Okay.
I'm still.
Yeah, once quantity again, over quality.
Yeah, I stay with the numbers. I play the numbers game. Good Lord, this is my first time seeing Antoine Walker in years, and it's not great.
Yeah, he's covering the SEC tournament. He's fulfilling his role of former star gravitating to ESPN's second network.
I thought you were going to say he's fulfilling his role of former NBA player who now has to work to pay off IRS debt.
Well, he's also is that what Paul Pierce is doing too? Well.
Probably. Yeah, he's filled out his frame.
Well, definitely. That's what Chris Paul and James Harden are going to look like when they're done playing basketball too. So
he looks like a former offensive lineman.
Is
that Booger McFarlane?
Well, the deal is, it'd be like if Booger dropped 40 pounds. Oh, Booger's in pretty good shape. Antoine played basketball.
Yeah, it looks different. Hey, what were you saying before Dell rudely interrupted you about something that's an ugly day today that I don't celebrate because I love
you
my
love
wife.
Life.
Well, and I have respect for women.
I'll ask this question after I tell you. So in Amarillo, it was like 65 mile an hour sustained winds. Mm-hmm. It's blowing over semi trailers.
What? Yeah. That's called a tornado.
It was sustained winds. No, like they're just in straight winds and just blowing trucks over.
Yeah,
I'll show you the video.
That part of the state is, you know, that's like, you know what that's like in Game of Thrones, since we talked about it before. That's like what's north of the wall,
Amarillo.
Yeah,
yeah.
You already know that there's stuff happening there that you don't want
to
deal with.
I fly to California somewhat, not all the time, but quite a bit. Just see fam, my mom, or even if I'm going on vacation, I go west usually. You fly over that part. You fly over that part of the state. You're like, why do people live here?
I lived there until I was four. A place called Abernathy, and I have some memories of it. It was not awesome. It's not great. It's, you know, it's not. It's got a wet. It's north panhandle, but it's West Texas feel.
Now I've lived in a major city my entire life, whether it be Houston or LA. So I feel like Amarillo would be a place I'd be like, how fast and how quickly can I get out of here? I need to do to get out of here?
I think you'd really love living in SEC territory somewhere where you could really lock in on all the college sports. And by that, I mean, you know, somewhere like Starkville. I think Starkville would be a good spot for you.
Unless my cousin or my older brother is a cornerback, I don't want to live in Starkville.
you don't?
I know. We had better have moved there from wherever we
were. Everyone's going to think that anyway. Like, yeah. When did you come? Know someone? And they're going to try to find a way to ask. So did you, like, do you have any?
Yeah, my older brother's former Mississippi State running back, James Johnson.
Oh, okay.
That's why we're here.
Yeah.
We just never left that 3K.
That's what they're assuming.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Starkville.
Montez Sweat's my younger brother.
Now,
that's
Oxford's
why I'm here.
Oxford's a little fancier, so you might be able to get away with Oxford. They might say, "Are you a sous chef somewhere?" Or
that's not a question they would ask.
Do you work somewhere like a pastry chef?
Mm.
They might ask that. They might ask.
I feel
that
like they would ask.
They've got a foods, vibrant foods.
You're not too. One of those fellers who kneeled when during the national anthem. No, well, I don't play for Ole Miss. No, I don't play for the basketball team.
The did the basketball team kneel?
Yeah, it was a couple weeks ago.
No, I don't think they get you mixed up for a basketball player at Ole Miss.
It has to be my older brothers or younger brother or something.
Well, that's how the show starts today.
You want to get into what happened last night?
I don't. Yeah, I do, but it's going to make me sad. The Houston Rockets were back and forth. There was ups, there was downs. Like most Rocket games, Warrior games, it was dictated by, you know, who was hit, who got hot with 3 points. But the 3-point shot. But the problem with the Rockets is they had a hard time sustaining, you know, runs of 3-point shots. They just didn't have a bunch of them fall. And the Warriors started to take control of that game in the third quarter. It's not the Rockets' best quarter, the third quarter. And then the fourth quarter, it was basically over. And then, you know, the game looks closer than it actually was at 106 to 104. The Rockets really struggle with Boogie Cousins. 27 points. And Clint Capella, and Dale, you made this point before the show. When is the last time Clint Capella had to see a low post threat? You know how many even exist in the league? You got Karl Anthony Towns. Rudy Gobert is not really a catch and make a bunch of moves threat. I mean, he can, but that's not really how they win.
No.
It's Cousins and Karl Anthony Towns and Embiid.
And the Rockets have been so confident in their defense, they will gladly let you post Karl Anthony Towns against one of the smaller guys and go, okay, this is something you're not efficient enough that we will care to double team. You'll see sometimes Paul and Harden stand in there against even bigger 6'8 guys. You want to take centers out of the equation.
Their whole thing is they feel like you need to make high 60%.
Yeah, we don't think you can do that consistently. So continue to play us, and you know those two guys are stronger and they get under bigger guys and cause them problems. But as far as Capella's concerned, there is probably one guy that he sees consistently. And that's Karl Anthony Towns. He only sees Embiid maybe twice, and who knows if he's injured or not. He may not see him at all, depending on the setup. And for that game, because Kevin Durant was out, the Warriors decided we need a third guy, and we don't need Boogie standing on the perimeter. We'll let him go to work, and it kind of controlled the pace of the game every time, particularly in that second half. Anytime they needed a bucket from to slow down whatever the Rockets are building, they go to him. And I was wondering how the Warriors would score with. Because when they would take Curry or Thompson off the floor, one of those guys on the floor, and those guys just became guys who ran off screens to get open. Well, they had an answer, and it was Boogie, and Capella had no answers for him. And I don't know if that'll be a thing in the playoffs if they see each other, because Durant will be back. And I don't know I don't think Boogie Cousins is getting 16 shots in a game with Durant and Thompson and Curry on the floor. But it is something the Rockets will have to answer for if it's something the Warriors decide to focus on.
The three of not Draymond. Draymond had just 2 points in 37 minutes.
And Draymond is a guy, if I'm a Warrior fan, I'd say, get out of my face. I don't know if that...
Are you done with him if you're a Warrior fan?
I mean, I would be. Because, you know, Draymond at one point was a 39% three-point shooter?
Yeah.
And it's,
was he real? Did he get that high?
He was about 38.8.
Not
anymore. And that has decreased so much that he's like... Why guard this guy? And he was a turnover machine last night. And his assists come from Thompson or Curry coming off screens and being open, or maybe a backdoor cut.
Yeah,
if he tries to make a play as opposed to running stuff through the offense, he's a disaster.
Yeah, he's they combined for 81 points between Cousins, Curry, and Klay Thompson. And that's one of the reasons I feel like, I mean, it's still the Warriors. They may not be able to just flip the switch, but let's be real. Kevin Durant wasn't even there last night. At any point, three guys can hit you for 27 points. At any point, I know you had Steph just going for 24, but I mean, give me a break. They have three players could hit you for 24 to 27 any given night. It's going to be really, really hard. But the Rockets have enough certainly to compete and maybe even to defeat them, but not doing what they did yesterday, not shooting the ball like they did yesterday from three. Well, they did. So it got up to 37.5% was what the Rockets shot from three. But at one point, that was they had eight made threes, like, I want to say late in the third. So you hit some threes that I think kind of altered the landscape of what it looked like in a box score at the very end. But you were not offensively in a role and in a rhythm yesterday. And It's funny, reading the comments after the game, Mike D'Antoni was a little bit concerned, just saying, well, you know, this should wake them up. This should wake them up. The Rockets were on a long winning streak. I mean, they had been in good shape. They just lost to a really good team.
Yeah, maybe it's that whole NCAA tournament thing that people always talk about. Like, maybe losing one before the tournament when you're on a long win streak will get you ready and woken up. And Austin Rivers talked about it as well. We need to go to break. But he said, we've been playing well, but sometimes you let go of the rope a little bit when you're playing well.
Yeah.
And we couldn't get away with some of the things that were slipping against the Warriors that we got away against other teams.
Rocket fans, you want to jump in? 713-780-3776. You basketball fans, if you had thoughts on Rockets Warriors, because I know you do. I'm not too worried about it, but you know, I would have liked to have seen them just put the nail in a regular season coffin on the Warriors and at least just make a statement at home, and that didn't happen last night. 713-780-3776. I want to tell you about Prime Social's tournaments that go on every day at noon, other than Sundays at 2 o'clock. But tomorrow is going to be the tournament at noon. I will be there. It's a 10th. Why would I not? Every Friday, they have a $10,000 guaranteed pot. And so if it goes over that, of course, it goes over that. If it's under it, doesn't matter. They will kick in the extra, and you will be part of that pot. And I will also tell you that, you know, Granato's son finished first chip leader the other day. JT did. I mean, first chip leader, he's been playing for 8 months, and that's the second time that's happened over at Prime Social. And what I'm telling you is you don't have to be an expert. That's the great equalizer about tournament play. Sometimes if you get a little lucky and you catch some cards, you could be right there cashing, you know, in on $1,400, $1,700, $2,000, depending on what the chop is with the chips. But Prime Social makes it so much fun. You pull into the parking lot, you got valet parking, you got food and beverages that they bring right to the table. They put it on a table right next to you, so while you're playing cards, you can enjoy your lunch or dinner or snack, whatever you're going to have. And they've got cash games waiting for you if you bust out of the tournament. So make sure, whether it's cash games or a tournament, make sure that you go to Prime Social. 7801 Westheimer between Voss and Dunvale. It is the number one poker place in the entire city of Houston, and I think you're going to have a blast in a beautiful setting with security and a lot of great people. PrimeSocialTX.com.
Need a new restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios.
It's too late.
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
To sign a tackle and free agency win.
I didn't like this album. I'm just going to be honest with you. There's two songs I like. I know you're the same way, Dell. You just don't want to say it because you...
Because I what?
You will think that it makes you look unwoke if you say that you didn't like this Childish Gambino.
I don't mind it. I didn't listen to that album at all because I knew...
He's got a little too experimental.
It's not that. It's that. It just wasn't rap. So I was like, I'm out. I don't care.
Well, he doesn't want to be defined by your standards, though.
I'm not defining him, but when he makes a rap album, I will listen.
Like
when he,
Sober, or even the mixtape. Sober, just saying.
Or even the mixtape, Stone Mountain Kauai. The Stone Mountain one was more rap, and Kauai was him in Hawaii feeling the vibe. I listened to that, but I wasn't going to listen to this. I was out. When that song came out, people loved
Sober
it.
Sober was on the Kauai.
Yeah, on the mixtape.
Yeah.
The two-sided mixtape. When this song came out, I was like, I'm good. I'm not.
Well, it got way weirder. I'm sure it did. The songs. I'm like, this. Are we sure that's really?
It's fine.
Gambino singing?
I mean, people loved it. I just wasn't one of those people.
So I was one of those people that have been okay with what the Texans have done to watch. I was ready for more of the Nordstrom rack instead of the Nordstrom free agency period. They're still not really, there's not a lot going on right now, and they do have money. So it starts to, I'm never ever in favor of building a team through free agency. That is almost historically a death knell because you end up spending dumb, bad money. But it is important that you fill in your roster with needy pieces so that you don't have to reach in the draft. The Texans right now are at the point where they simply have to reach a tackle. There's really no way around it. And you could see this coming. There wasn't much tackle talent in free agency. There rarely is. I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you hit free agency as a tackle, you're probably not that great. You're probably either at the end of the rope like Nate Solder. You're a guy who New England will sign you if they think you're a good player. Them not signing Trent Brown tells you what you need to know about Trent Brown. They have some concerns too. As a guy who's carried a lot of additional weight for much of his career and just got done blocking for a guy who doesn't get sacked much because he gets rid of the ball. So it's reasonable to think he was going to get way overpaid. Nate Solder was at the back end of his career. I was okay with not signing him, you know, Trent Brown to that kind of money. What we found out yesterday is the Texans were on Roger Saffold from the Rams. Now, for those people who, you know, for those of you who don't follow offensive line play, and you're bad people if you don't know offensive line play, obviously, if you don't follow it as a cult. Roger Saffold is a former tackle from Indiana who bumped inside to guard several years ago. And the Texans apparently finished second in the running to Roger Saffold. He's in the division. He ended up signing with the Tennessee Titans. I was a little surprised to hear they're after Saffold because I'm assuming he's just a guard at this stage of his career. And Fulton, I've just assumed Martinez Rankins is going to take over at left guard and Zach Fulton is going to sit there at right guard. What this tells me by going after Saffold, and there was a two-year deal. Saffold signed a two-year deal for $22 million. Guaranteed, I guess. So basically, you know, he's going to be there for 2 years. That tells me that either they're not super confident in either Fulton or Rankins, or maybe they were considering bumping him back outside to tackle. So I'm kind of curious about how the Texans saw Roger Saffold, because they may have seen him as a potential Band-Aid at right tackle instead of just being a guard where he's been playing with the Rams. I'm not sure. Either that or it tells you that they're not in love with what they've got in the interior. And I'll say this too. I don't think Nick Martin has, I've said it before and I'll say it again, Nick Martin is not guaranteed a job for the next several years. That he's not guaranteed anything. Nobody on that offensive line is guaranteed anything long term. All five guys. There are levels. I think Fulton and then Martin are the in order of safest, and then left guard's way up for, you know, way up for grabs. Obviously, I think Rankins could win it. And then both tackle spots are up for grabs. The problem we have right now is you have no free agents at tackle. You have no on the roster. You have Chantrell Henderson, who has not played many football games over the last 3 years. And then you have Julian Davenport, who we know is just not good enough. He's a swing tackle at best in the league. So what are you at now? You literally have to draft. You're either going to be very weak at right tackle or you're very weak at left tackle. You're going to have to draft one tackle at least, and maybe two. And I'm here to tell you, I've looked at all these guys. If you're not you might be able to go first round, second round, and find two rookies to play tackle, but then you're playing with two rookie tackles. I mean, that's never optimal.
What is the what's the time frame for this team? You've analyzed them. You know what the needs are, how difficult it is to maybe find them considering their start of free agency. 11 wins, so people may have higher expectations than what they should. Is this a 2 to 3 year process before they're a championship level team? What, how long? Because you're talking about all these holes, and you're talking about having to hit on your top four picks to kind of fill some of them, and that's the draft says that's an unlikely thing. Who knows? They might have a great draft. So how long will this take?
Well, this is my concern. In order, these are the priority positions, and I would say in order. The priority positions in football in building a team. I'm not just talking about for the Texans. Anytime that you go into the draft, these are the four positions that could be drafted first in the draft. Left tackle, and then this position usually isn't drafted first, but it usually will get a top four designation if a guy's really elite, is cornerback. It goes quarterback, pass rusher, left tackle, and then cornerback. Because cornerbacks have a lot of value because they can shut down parts of the field if you get an elite cornerback. And the Texans have holes at two of those, major holes at two of those positions, cornerback and offensive tackle. So because it's a priority, and I bring this up because it's a priority position, those positions get pushed up the board. So if you have tackle get pushed up the board and you're sitting at 23 as the Houston Texans, odds are you're going to see the fourth and maybe even fifth tackle come off the board. So you start losing the pick of the litter at the tackle spot. Cornerback might be available there at 23. And you know why? Because it's not a good cornerback draft. And then one of the guys who I would have thought they could have looked at, DeAndre Baker, I'm getting more and more information about how bad his, it's all getting out there about him not showing up at workouts, pre-combine, not putting in time and effort, telling his agent he was going to make bank anyway, and he wasn't even going to show up at combine prep, like stuff that is a nightmare to hear about before the draft. Like, you draft a guy after you hear this stuff whose football character apparently is low, and I like this tape. So now, if you're the Texans, you have major holes at priority positions, which means they're going to be hard to find. I just think it's more, this is looking like more than a, this is looking like a 3-year process, because I'm going to go last year where they had no chance of filling those spots and they had a difficult time trying to fill anything because they didn't have a tackle pick in the first two rounds. So now we're going to this year. They must find tackles and they must find cornerbacks. And we already know in free agency, I still think they're going to sign a cornerback in free agency. They have to. They got to fill out more spots in their team. But Jonathan Joseph, Bradley Roby, and I guess Aaron Colvin right now is who we're looking at. It doesn't feel good enough. It doesn't feel like you're stopping T.Y. Hilton anytime soon.
Well, they weren't stopping him. They haven't stopped him in their entire tenure.
They haven't stopped him when they were better at cornerback.
No.
But I really do think that this isn't happening this year. You now have to go to – this now turns into a 3-year process.
So Brian Gain is in his second year, and yeah. I don't know how the organization sees it, because it's weird because Bill Bryan got his extension, but he's been around longer. So I think a lot of people look at it as this isn't year two of Bill O'Brien. This is certainly going into the back half of his decade with the Texans. Mm-hmm. But Brian Gain hasn't been here as long. Are the Texans looking at this as a redo from the time Brian Gain started? With Deshaun being drafted and being a full-time starter, they started all over as far as how long this is going to take for them to be a championship team?
No, I don't think you can afford to. I don't think any team operates like that. I mean, the Giants look like they might be operating like that right now. The Texans aren't operating like that. And yet, and I'm just telling you, they don't believe in reaching and they don't believe in overpaying. And I'm on board with that. That's great. I will just say, though, based on where you're drafting, it's going to get a whole lot harder. It's going to get a whole lot harder, and you have less leeway for mistakes now. You just don't have it on your roster. So I think this is going to go into – I mean, this is not going to be handled this year. Sorry. For fans who thought you were going to handle all your issues with free agency in the draft, it's not happening. It's over.
I'm just interested in their view of how they're building their team. Do they believe they're built so wrongly before Brian Gain took over that, sure, you have some pieces, some cornerstone guys, but we're building a roster – for 2020 or 2021, when we believe we're a title team, when Deshaun is now a young veteran and certainly ready to take him to a potential title?
I don't know. I think they do have to have windows, though. I mean, you got to start thinking in terms of financial windows and when different guys come up contractually. I just know this. You have the same issues on the offensive line that you had going into free agency, and free agency isn't going to cure any of them. It all has to be done through the draft, and that's going to be very, very difficult. They can't miss in the draft. They have to hit at least singles. So I'll have you, once free agency's done, I'll really get into draft stuff and who the Texans should target, but it's going to be a challenge, and they may like to trade back instead of up. So it's not like it's going to get any easier. 731, let me tell you about my man Craig DeSerf. I've been a big fan of his as a person, first and foremost, because if you're going to go to a car dealership, I don't have to tell you, if you've ever been, it's not always a pleasant experience. You get bum rushed. When you pull up and you see salespeople in starting blocks getting ready to fire out to your car, that's not a great sign, because soon this question is going to come in. What do we have to do to get you into this car? That's the nightmare scenario. You don't think it is, but it just means they're not going to leave you alone. And you're not there to window shop. You're not allowed to window shop. Sometimes you do want to window shop. And in Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, they understand that. Now, the best way to do that, frankly, is by going to LanceZCars.com. That's LanceZCars.com. And when you get there, they've got 308 vehicles in inventory. You can take a look at all of their vehicles, new, pre-owned, Chevy. It's truck month right now, so 0% APR for 72 months on that Chevy Silverado Crew Cab SLT edition. That's available for you. They've got all kinds of offers going on with GMC right now as well. The 2019 GMC Acadia and Terrain model, 16% below MSRP. And Buicks, the Enclave model, the 2018 is 16% below MSRP. The Chevy Impala, 19%. Or rather, 19% below MSRP when you take advantage right now. $7,219 worth of offers for you on that vehicle. Find what you're looking for at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Whether you're just window shopping or you're ready to buy, they are going to give you better price and better return for your trade-in value on your vehicle, and then they're going to give you great prices right up front. It's Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Go to LanceZCars.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Everyone needs an Aunt Lydia in their life. Keep things going smooth.
I don't want that woman in my life.
7:36 here on the bench. Lance Zierlein, Dell with you. Tyler is in the studio. We've got Tyler's behind the glass. There is a video footage. The winds were so high in Amarillo that it literally lifted a truck up and blew it over. And then the top of the truck, like the where the windshield is, just got torqued completely off. I hope that guy, I didn't see a body fly out of there. I hope that guy had a seatbelt on, because that was one you better have your seatbelt on. That was crazy. The wind turned that. It just must have got right up under it.
There was another one of a FedEx truck that got blown over too.
So. Wait. That's what Dell's talking about?
Yeah, I saw the FedEx truck.
Well, I retweeted two of them.
Which one's worse?
I would say probably the FedEx truck because it's full of people's packages.
Yeah, it's ruining people's lives.
Yeah.
And plus, there were more vehicles near the FedEx truck. This one had kind of a free run to tip over and not endanger anyone, other than the guy in the truck.
One of the articles I read said that wind may have been responsible for a 26 car train derailment. That's ridiculous.
This says crash involving if you just hit FedEx truck in the news, FedEx truck hits woman crossing street. Woman 65 hit by FedEx truck. Two vehicles, including FedEx truck, catch fire. Crash involving FedEx truck closes portion of highway. I'm like, wait a minute. How many things are... Here's the... you have to go to number 5 before you see it flip over. Driver killed in fiery accident in FedEx truck. Like, what's going on with these FedEx trucks?
Look, this is follow the money, man. This is just Amazon... pushing these videos in front of you to let you know.
You're on follow the money.
Yeah, follow the money, man. Follow money. Jeff Bezos is once again using Twitter to let people know. Go with Amazon. Our trucks don't tip over and kill people.
Well, this is one where it tipped over, but it looks like it's snowy, icy conditions. You saw one with the wind? I haven't even seen that one yet.
Yeah.
So apparently FedEx trucks are just catching fire all over the place, all over the country, and flipping over.
And I say it's a FedEx, it's a Bezos and UPS thing, because I think Amazon, at least I get a lot of my Amazon stuff through UPS. I feel like this is something you need to follow the money and see the connection between UPS, Amazon, and their concerted effort to dismantle FedEx from the ground up. Follow the money, Lance.
Yeah, I got to follow the money, I guess. I hadn't really thought of that. Follow the money in free agency. It will not lead back to Houston. The Texans are just not spending right now. I do think they'll get a couple more guys. We're getting into bargain bin territory. Have you guys seen the names that are still out there? At this point now, these are guys who are furious with their agents because they realize, wow, the wave one money is gone. So now you have guys like Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah, where's that guy going to
I don't
how
know.
Much is he
Ezekiel
get?
Elliott. I'm not Ezekiel Elliott. Ezekiel Ansah. You've got some guys who have some talent who are now going to be relegated to one-year deals. And I'm telling you, if you're the Houston Texans, there's no reason not to be involved with a quality player for a one-year high-dollar deal. You already did it at cornerback. Now you should look at, you've got the money, and there are other teams who are all capped out who are not going to be able to spend money. Now's the time, like in fantasy football auctions, if you've ever been in one, where you just haven't been bidding on players, and then at the end, like Adam Wexler's known, the Wexlers are known as the team that doesn't go out and spend a bunch of money early on. Like the Granados, John treats his fantasy football auction a lot like he wants the Texans to. Spend as much money as you can early on, and then you have to sit out everything
else. He's like Daniel Snyder?
Yes. He fired like the highest number at quarterback. He made a bid that was so high on Deshaun Watson that no one bid second. Everyone's like, what? John's like, 25.
Really paid off for him, too, this past season.
Yeah, he was made fun of immediately. No one bid after that, and he's like, good, the guy who I wanted. And then I know in his heart he was saying, wow, I should have come in lower. I should have started lower on that one. And John just fires off, you know, exorbitant amounts on the first two guys out of the box, and he's done for the next hour and a half. That's what it feels like with some of these teams in free agency. Well, now the Texans are sitting in a position where they can make one-year offers to some decent talent. So we'll see if they get involved with a bargain bin, because there are some decent players left. And then there's some just guys who you fill in your roster with free agency. And I think they'll have to do some of that as well. And then we'll find out who are cap casualties, but that won't be the two guys that I think Whitney Mercilus could be down the road. There's no reason to get rid of him right now, but I think he could be down the road. And I think Deontay Foreman could be as well. I think Deontay Foreman, well, we'll see. It's not like he's costing them a bunch of money. So when I say cap casualty, he wouldn't be a cap casualty. They just don't. If he's not on the team, it's just because they don't want him anymore. So we'll see how they treat Deontay Foreman in the coming months. Let's get Jeff in here. He wants to talk about the Houston Texans. What's up, Jeff? How you doing?
Hey, guys. So no trades on this call, but the reason, and I think I can speak for all Texans fans, the reason for the frustration we have as a city is all the good teams, the Rams, the Chiefs, the Eagles, the Browns going all in now, all have really good, young, cheap quarterbacks, and they're going all in because they know that they have a four-year window where they're quarterbacks until they have to pay them the $180 to $200 million contract. And meanwhile, the Texans are sitting here twiddling their thumbs going, I guess we'll just try to save money when we're not the Patriots. Like, the Patriots can only do it the Patriots way. I mean, nobody has Tom Brady taking $15 million a year season contract. So, for me, it's extremely frustrating. I think most fans will agree to see the Texans not trying to win a Super Bowl when once Watson's contract's up and we got to pay him $180 million, it's going to be really difficult to do free agency, which is essentially how we're treating it right now. And Mark Ingram going away, I thought would have been a great complimentary piece. Cheap, you know, Watson's contract, we could have cut him right then, and we could have had a great number 1-2 punch, you know, and seeing all these good players
that's
go.
That's a good point, Jeff. I hadn't even thought about Mark Ingram. When Latavius Murray came into the Saints, I mean, it was the end for Mark Ingram. I never really thought about them getting Ingram, but Ingram ended up signing with the Ravens at a relatively reasonable deal, I think. That would have been a nice addition for the Houston Texans to have a guy like Mark Ingram. You could have frankly just walked right away from Lamar Miller. You could have just cut him on the spot and been just fine. You know, they didn't do that either. And I know they can't be in love with Lamar Miller. I mean, Lamar Miller is not a touchdown scorer. He's not a guy that's going to be able to impose his will physically. Mark Ingram would have been nice to see as a Houston Texan. I didn't even thought about a free agent running back.
As the days or minutes go by, are you getting more concerned and a little more agitated with what the Texans are doing?
I'm not a fan of trying to build through free agency. But I believe you draft your own. But when you start seeing some of the prices, it's like every year you go, oh, wait a minute. So we could have had that guy for this amount of money. We could have had that guy.
It's like the Astros and Marwin deal.
Yeah.
Like, they had the money to do that. Why wouldn't they?
Or when you see the closers who are going off the board. The first closer last year before they ended up with Osuna, the first one you see is, okay, there's still lots of guys. And then the second and the third. And by the very end, you've got a guy with domestic violence on his docket. And he comes in. He was, oh, by the way, he was also led the league in blown saves last year. And he's just going to be a guy in postseason. Oh, great. Could have been in on better for closers way earlier.
We know the deal. Luno ain't trading his beloved prospects, not the ones he loves.
Nope. 7:45. You guys want to jump in just like Jeff did. If you want to be like Jeff, 713-780-3776. Kyler Murray's pro day was yesterday. Is he the top pick in the NFL draft? And, there are rumors circulating.
And I've got a story why, you know, the dude who wrote Game of Thrones isn't writing the books. He's too concerned about Giants football.
Yeah, this is a concern to me.
To be honest with you.
It's a concern to me. Straight from Staffordshire, England.
He's not. He's from Bayonne, New Jersey.
Yeah, that doesn't even make sense either. 7:46. It's the bench.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Del, this is your West Coast music. Or are you East Coast? Are you Miami? What are we coming back with? Some Trick Daddy, or are we coming back with some old Dre?
Trick Daddy love the kids. Mm-hmm. Play whatever you want. Doesn't matter. I'm multicoastal.
Know. Yeah. He just picks and chooses.
Or as opposed to you being a cultural,
music or sports
culture vulture.
Big Laker fan.
I'm not a Laker fan. Have you ever heard me talk about the Lakers?
But you're multicoastal.
Yeah, because I grew up in one place and born in the other and go back to the other. So, yeah, multicoastal, but not a Laker fan.
Let's get Dave in here. He's a Rocket fan, probably.
Texans.
I know he wants to talk Texans, but he's probably a Rocket fan. What's up, Dave?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Listen, I'm just going to say, listen, the Texans, you know, God rest his soul, but I heard McNair said before he passed that so long as the stadium is sold out, that's all he's happy about. So that team, that team don't want to be champions. They just want to keep making money and selling out the stadium. As long as they keep a decent product out there, the Texas fans will be there.
You know, thanks for the call, Dave. That's out there. I don't believe that's true at all. They want to. You make a lot more money when you win, substantially more, because you can raise your tickets a lot higher. You make additional revenue and post. I mean, obviously they want to win. I know what you're the question. What you're saying, Dave, and I think this is fair. Is saying, I don't think it. What they're saying is, we don't care if we win or lose. We just want the stadium to be filled. I think they want the stadium to be filled and to win. But I think it's fair to bring up, I don't know if I agree with this, but I do think it's fair to bring up, do you really want to win if you're not playing the game the way it has to be played to win? What the Colts are doing, first of all, the Colts have won 1 year. The Colts have won 1 year. And I know, and look, I think the Colts, and I'm friends with people in the organization, but let's be real about this. The Colts could backslide. When you look at that roster, the Colts could backslide into a six-win team this year.
The Colts,
I've seen it happen before. Remember when the Saints flashed?
Yeah.
And then they went away for a year, and then they came back again.
Yeah.
I don't think the Colts are built for sustained success yet. I think they're still building. So.
Well, that entire franchise, rightfully or wrongfully so, in the last 20 years, has gone the way of the health of their quarterback.
Yeah.
When
they just happen to have two really good ones.
And they got them back-to-back in relatively short order. When Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck are healthy and playing, the Colts are a viable threat, at least to make the playoffs. I don't know about championship level. And I don't know how many other teams have that type of swing. Like, the Colts, without those two, are legitimately the worst team in football.
Right.
Pretty much. When those two are on the field, they got a real shot to at least win a division, and we saw that this past season win a playoff game. I mean, even the Saints were never the worst team, and they had Drew Brees on the roster. Even with Drew Brees, that team can fall off. But the Colts are never bad when those two have been on the field.
So, right.
So I get what you're saying about the Colts could legitimately backslide, but for whatever reason, if those guys are healthy and playing, now, Andrew Luck, I don't see them winning less than 9 to 10 games.
Well, the Colts have over $100 million in cap space, and they're not spending their cap. Like, they're a little bit more cash poor, so they're not going to spend $100 million. They don't have $100 million to spend, even though they have that quote-unquote cap space. The Texans aren't going to spend all their cap space, but they do have actual cash to spend. And I think some fans will be very excited. Like, for example, if they brought in Sue on a one-year deal, fans would be ecstatic about that because that's a name-brand guy. He's not the same player he once was, but fans will be very, very excited. But we're at a point now where they're going to have to make a couple more signings. I mean, they just are. They're at a point where they've got to add to their team, and there is money to spend, and there are players out there. It's not going to be on the offensive line. So that – right off the bat, that's where I'm like, man, I don't think they can fix the offensive line in one draft.
Well, what's the philosophy? They won 11 games. Are they – when you win 11, a lot of people assume make a couple signings, you got a real shot to win a Super Bowl. Do the Texans believe they're a Super Bowl winning team?
Mm.
Because if they are, that's,
I don't know.
That's when you make the 1 year. That's what you do what the Rams did. The Rams were in the same position last year, probably better suited in terms of talent on the lines, offensive line. They lost a home playoff game to the Falcons. And then they went all in.
I would say the Rams are 100% not the model that most good teams are going
to
follow.
Yeah, because the Rams went and got themselves Peters into the league.
The Rams tried to buy legitimacy.
And they did.
But it also helped that Gurley was healthy for most of the year, I guess. And then Goff took a step forward. So And Cooper Kupp took a big step. And so a lot of things happened all at once. But I almost felt like the Rams are doing that because they wanted to try to own L.A. They're like, let's just get the buzz, because I can tell you this, there was no buzz about the Rams in L.A. There was none. And then the Chargers come in, there was no buzz about the Chargers. I think the Rams made a conscious decision. Let's buy our way. Let's buy some excitement in the city. And then it worked out for them. That's the Marlins way of doing things that we've seen in the past. And the Texans are never going to do that. But everyone points to Stephon Gilmore with the Patriots, and the Patriots paying a bunch for Stephon Gilmore. The Patriots paid a bunch for a premium position, but the Patriots aren't the team that you really should be pointed at as the model for going out and spending a free agency. It's the exact opposite. They let guys walk on a regular basis.
Trey Flowers is now in line.
Yeah, and they re-signed their own. However, they recognized, you know, we got another chance to win another title, and this is a priority position, and he's a special player. The Texans are in a position, they're obviously not like the Patriots, but if there was a guy out there that they thought was kind of special, they should look at it. I wonder how much of Jadeveon Clowney's contract situation is playing into this, where they don't want to, if they don't plan on keeping Clowney, they don't want to give a different team's player a high-dollar contract, because then it's going to set a bad tone inside the locker room if they don't hang on to one of their own, but they pay someone else. And I know fans never think about that. I'm telling you, that's a real thing that teams think about, and that's a real thing in locker rooms, is you'll pay somebody else who wasn't from here, but you won't pay one of our own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's maybe a concern, since Clowney right now is in a little bit of a holding pattern.
Well, I think the combination of Jeff, and I forgot the guy's name we just called, and their
Dave,
their combination probably makes me think quite a bit about the Texans don't believe they're a championship level team. Because if you do, you operate.
Do you? I don't think they are.
But they might tell you, or at least they might sell you, that they believe they're close. They're not operating like they think they're close, because this appears to be a long term deal, as opposed to we won 11 games.
Oh, this is they're still in the process mode for sure.
You start signing guys like Sue. I don't know. We'd have to talk about how he fits in their defense,
because
he's a guy who likes to get up the field quite a bit from the defensive tackle position. And maybe you even look at other guys and say, maybe you overpay for Roger Saffold because you think you've got a real shot to win a Super Bowl. I don't think they believe they do. At least that's not the way they're treating free agency.
Your guy.
Who's my guy?
Matt Moore is leaving the football team and moving to the scouting department.
Yeah, he was at Kyler Murray's Pro Day. Not that the Dolphins are going to really have a shot to take him, but he's transitioning into that role.
Speaking of Kyler Murray's Pro Day, we will get to that and to the Rockets when we come back. There's a whole lot of nothing going on with Texans free agency, so we'll start to lock in with Rockets Warriors. Didn't end well for the Rockets yesterday. And, of course, Kyler Murray, everyone's wondering what he would what his height, weight, speed would be at his pro day. We've got answers for you, although it may not be what you want. I've got answers for Men's T Clinic, and that may not be what you want either. Men's T Clinic is going to get you an answer. And you may think, man, I can't believe I'm low in testosterone. When you get your test back, you'll go, it shouldn't be something that you're upset about. And I'll tell you why. I would be upset if there was no solution. Men's T Clinic offers you a solution. They can get your numbers back to where they once were. And when you do that, you're going to find that your testosterone level gives you energy. It gives you your drive. It gives you better focus. It helps you with mental clarity, with metabolism, with maintaining lean muscle mass. There's so many different things that are going to be advantageous for you when your testosterone level is back to where it should be. And I know for many of you, you think, well, how hard is this? Does insurance cover it? In most cases, insurance will cover it because it's a big quality of life issue. And it's a health issue. So make sure that you go to mensteclinic.com. You can check out all the information on their website. Or you can always just stop by one of their locations or give them a call. They're in Pasadena, Pearland. They're in Cypress. And they're in the Heights. Mensteclinic.com. That's mensteclinic.com.
Into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.